The Shadow Secretary of State, Owen Smith, has said Labour is committed to its manifesto pledge to strengthen women's rights to choose a safe abortion. Those are his words. He's hosting a delegation of Labour MPs today in Belfast. They will meet lobby groups, medics and women affected by current laws in Northern Ireland. The Labour Party says it will push the government to reform abortion law here if we move to direct rule. But is this a welcome step towards equal rights for women here, or unnecessary interference in what is, as things still stand, a devolved matter? Well, Gráinne Taggart's with me from Amnesty International. Morning, Gráinne.
Good morning.
Morning, good morning. And Tracy Harkin from the ONU Institute. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, Gráinne, what do you think?
Well, we welcome the commitment of the Labour Party to ensuring women's access to free, safe and legal abortion. It is very much the responsibility of the UK government, whether through devolution or direct rule, to ensure that Northern Ireland's abortion law is brought in line with international human rights standards. We have been in a political limbo now for over a year, and during that time we know that women continue to board planes to access services that they should be entitled to here at home in other parts of the UK. So today's meeting and the Labour delegation in Belfast is a key part of Amnesty and the Family Planning Association's work to build a cross-party constituency of support for change at Westminster. We don't feel that devolution is any justification for the denial of women's rights, nor does devolution and the fact that health and justice are devolved relieve the UK government of their responsibility to ensure that a woman's right to abortion is upheld. So we obviously have the storm and talks underway again at the moment, but we would say that the role of the UK government is not just to be a facilitator in these talks, that they are responsible for ensuring that long overdue change in abortion happens. And as I say, whether that is achieved through devolution or direct rule, ideally through devolution, but we are in a very unique political situation at the minute, and women cannot continue to wait for this change.
Okay, Tracy?
Well, I think that it is absolutely incredulous, the visit by Owen Smith, for a couple of reasons. Well, the first obvious reason in terms of the whole democratic, the whole question of it undermining our institutions in Stormont and the continual wishes of the people of Northern Ireland, who, you know, over the last few years have continually voted for us here in this part of the world to do much better than what's happening in the UK. I think Amnesty and FPA are really show a contempt for our democratic institutions by acting in this way, and also the Labour Party as well. And I think that's just not acceptable. But the big issue for me here is we now have had 50 years of abortion in the UK. So we've had 50 years to absorb and to reflect and to see what's happening over there. And it is an absolute tragedy, Stephen. There is 1 in 5 pregnancies end in abortion. There's 200,000 abortions take place annually in the UK. You know, 90% of little babies are allowed to be aborted right up to birth. And indeed, 90% are aborted with Down syndrome in particular and other conditions. And that is not something, that is something that I think the UK needs to reform themselves. You know, we here in this part of the world have had a real advantage because, you know, the UK didn't have ultrasound scans. They didn't know the effect of law change. They didn't know the pressure that was going to put on women at a very vulnerable time in their life. Law changes culture. And we can see that even in terms of internationally. Like in France, there's 1 in 5 babies and lives end in abortion. In Sweden, it's 1 in 4.
Gráinne?
And in terms of disability, you know, as a mother with a profoundly disabled child, I'm extremely concerned about this, as are other mothers, that value the human right to life of every single human person, and we need good services for mothers.
Is that Gráinne your response?
Well, if I can just correct something that Tracy said there. She mentioned there's been 50 years of abortion in the rest of the UK. It's obviously been a lot longer than that because women have always sought and needed abortion. I think what she's referring to is 50 years of the 1967 Act. And to be clear, we are not calling for the extension of the 1967 Act, nor is that part of the discussion with Labour today. What we are wanting is our own laws that are fit for purpose today in 2018. And if we look at the minute we consider what is happening in the South or the Republic of Ireland, at a time when we are witnessing unprecedented cross-party political leadership on abortion, women here need to see politicians stand with them. Because let's consider for a moment all those women who have had to travel. We know, for example, that in 2016-17, there were only 13 abortions performed in hospitals in Northern Ireland. But at the same period, 724 women and girls travelled from Northern Ireland to the rest of the UK. So what does that tell us? It tells us that our law is not fit for purpose, and it tells us that women are obviously seeking and needing abortions. Are we going to continue to export women's healthcare? Because in our opinion, that is not acceptable. And of course, those figures do not reflect the increasing number of women who are going online to purchase abortion pills, nor does it include those women and girls who, for reasons of perhaps stigma, etc., around this issue, give an address of a friend or a relative in England. So we really need the discussion around, you know, the rights and wrongs of abortion. That's not even sort of where we are. Where we are is the fact that women today in Northern Ireland, women and girls, I should say, are having abortions. So there's a duty on our politicians, including politicians at Westminster, to ensure that those abortions are free, safe and legal. So today's visit will include meetings with legal professionals who are working alongside our organisations to achieve change through the courts. They will meet with women who have been directly impacted by the law here, who have had to travel for these services. They will meet with MLAs as well to talk about whether change can be achieved through devolution, or if we return to direct rule, that will be needed there.
One last word to you, Tracy.
There's so much to respond to what Grainne has just said there. Our law has been proven by the Both Lives Matter campaign. 100,000 lives are saved. Our laws are life-saving. They're progressive. We now have ultrasound scans, Grainne. There's no such thing as a safe abortion. And it has a profound effect on women.
No,
and Amnesty... Sorry, please, Grainne, let me finish. Amnesty International your organisation supports complete decriminalisation. So for you, it doesn't matter. And the fact of the matter is...
You seem to misunderstand what decriminalisation means.
We know we need to focus on services for women, improving those. But as our law now stands, no woman has ever been withheld medical treatment because of our laws. Our laws here are ahead of
That's
the crime.
Totally inaccurate.
Absolutely ahead of the crime. And the fact of the matter is that Amnesty, you're extreme in your views. You want no
We're not extreme in our views. We just adhere to international human rights standards, and our politicians have a responsibility to do the same.
See, there you go. There's no listening with Amnesty International, Stephen. You know, they're not even concerned about the profound impact on women's health. They're not concerned with the stories of women that have had abortions that wish they hadn't. They're not concerned about the actual pressure, the huge pressure. I lived in England for 5 years, and I can tell you, I had many friends that had abortions under extreme
pressure. Here's John and Crumlin.
The law said that it was legal.
Okay, John and Crumlin's called us this morning. 030-30.
That's a simple question.
80-55-55.
Yesterday, the TV went crazy over a pup and hitting the head and threw in the bin to die. A baby ripped from its mother and threw in a bucket and left to die, and I don't hear anybody screaming about it. What's the difference? Is the mother not there to defend its baby? You know, we're going to live through 100 years of age, they say, maybe longer. Is a couple of months that much to them? Could that baby not be adopted?
Of course there's a better than abortion, absolutely. There's a better... Women need all the help and support they can, and that's what our laws do.
Women also need the space in law to make what are very private decisions themselves, because of course there are a whole host of reasons why women would seek an abortion, and I appreciate the caller's opinion there, but does that also mean that we should be forcing women who are victims of sexual crime, women who are given a fatal diagnosis with their pregnancy,
that
they should be forced to continue with pregnancy?
That's 2% of all abortions.
This is very much about women's bodily autonomy. Each individual woman can think for herself and can make an informed decision with her doctors. Should we be forcing women on planes to do that? No, they should be able to do that here in our local hospital.
Nice to talk to you both. Thank you very much indeed, Grainne Taggart and Tracy Harkin.